Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. The show is about to begin.
Welcome to Pod of No Return, an in-depth, sometimes humorous, behind-the-scenes tour of real life and a Broadway show, with your hosts, Greg Mills and Jeremy Stoll.
All right, welcome to the podcast of No Return, the Pod of No Return, actually, with Greg Mills and Jeremy Stoll and producer Joyce Belitsky. Today, we are opening with a closing. As our beloved Phantom of the Opera has come to an end, we are going to talk about all of the things around it. Greg, how
Jeremy.
Are you doing today, bud?
Great. How are you?
Great. I'm all right, dude. Thanks. Tell us a little bit about yourself for anybody who's listening that doesn't know you or I. Ready, go.
All right. Great. Go. Everything, your life. My name is Greg Mills. I am from Florida. I've lived in New York City for 20 some odd years. Was a swing at Phantom of the Opera, working with Jeremy. I did the show for off and on with three different productions, about 16 and a half years. I was almost 11 plus years on Broadway, and then the tour and in Las Vegas. Jeremy, tell me about you.
Why, of course. I was born in the bicentennial year of 1976. I grew up in Northern California. I went to the University of California, Irvine. I had one goal in life, and that was to be in a Broadway show, very specifically into Phantom of the Opera. So, yay me. I've been in Phantom for 15 and a half years, some odd. I love Broadway. I love doing this.
You're the prettiest Belle I've ever seen.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I really had to work on that. The diet was crazy. But here I am. Now we're closed. We're doing this podcast. I'm very excited about it. I've enjoyed my time with Greg Mills, so we've decided to continue that past the show. That's me. So how you doing, man?
Actually, I'm good. I'm good.
In reality, how you doing? I haven't talked to you in a week or so.
It's good, you know? I mean, things are, it's different. The stuff we didn't have time to do before, trying to figure out where I'm going to put all my stuff from Phantom. That's now filling my entire apartment.
Isn't that a problem?
It's crazy. I mean, I'm like, I had this much stuff in my dressing room. I need a storage unit.
Yeah, you remember when they told us that we have to be out of the dressing rooms by a certain time, and all of us looked at them like they had three heads. It just basically, hell no. Do you know how much stuff is in there after 15 years?
It's crazy. We had like 6 months to do it.
I know. I don't want to give anything away. So now I have tons of stuff in my apartment and in the house, and it's taking over my life. I think it's...
Yeah. We're going to wind up on that TV show Hoarders, you know. Just
exactly.
Us two old men with our, you know, bifocals and are surrounded by, you know, mounds of Phantom stuff.
We're going to have to Maria Kondo our stuff, and it's just going to be like, thank you for your service, Playbill. I've kept you and never looked at you for 14 That's years, right. But darn it. Yeah. How's it having dinner? Is it weird to be home?
It is.
At 7 o'clock at night.
I'm like,
it's a little bit pandemic-ish, right? It's just
yeah, it really is. Because it's only been we closed a week ago. A week and 2 days. But then, you know, I'll probably go by the theater tomorrow and be like, oh no, I'm not.
Don't do it. Don't do it. I've been by. It's rough.
I've been twice to photograph and stuff, so it's
God. Speaking of your photographs, Greg Mills,
yes.
A lot of people have been enjoying your photographs on Instagram. I think you can check your Instagrams, You Mighty Mills, and mine for sure, Jeremy Stoll at Instagram, because there have been a lot of postings of you with your fancy camera and your eye. I just have to say, you really have the talent to find the personalities of the different characters and different people in our cast, and in moments that people don't really suspect or expect, like somebody coming around a corner and being their goofy selves right after being on stage and being so serious. And those are the moments that really capture such a beautiful photograph. Phantom, I'll let you say it. What did Phantom do for the finale?
Oh, it was so cool. For the final show that Sunday, they made a special souvenir program, basically like the one we normally have, but it had kind of fancier paper cover. And they put a whole insert of about 12 pages of photos that I took, you know, that we had coordinated, you know, certain things they were looking for. They wanted like a whole tour of the backstage, you know, kind of a walkthrough of the Majestic. And so they used, you know, they gave me suggestions and ideas of shots that they wanted, but they put those 12 pages of, I don't know, 100 or so photos that I took, you know, and they gave me credit for it, which was amazing. So just to like see my name in the souvenir play, you know, playbill or program was pretty awesome. And that was
really it was awesome.
Yeah, it was really
cool. I'm actually really glad that they decided not to put in the 100 selfies of you in your underwear that you actually submitted to them. So that was really great.
That was, I mean, it was really a toss up. They basically came down to a coin flip what they were going to do. Yeah.
Oh, I tell you, I mean, I know
because I can tell you they're both Majestic. That's what I'm just going to say.
Your show underwear is like artwork in itself. It was always a fun thing to see because you have basically it's like a Sunday cartoon. Everybody's staring at your butt while you're changing because of all the designs on your underwear. I don't know why anybody needs to know that, but there you go.
Fun to wear.
All right, should we get on to the news?
Yeah, let's do some news.
Yeah, let's get on to the news. All right, well, in Broadway news, let's talk about a closing. Closing Sunday, April 30th this year is Pictures from Home with Nathan Lane, Danny Bernstein, and
Zoe Wanamaker. I heard it was great.
I didn't get to see it. That's the problem with being in a show. One day a week, we get to go to a show sometimes.
I've seen one show. Oh, we got some happy openings. On April 4th, we say happy opening to Shucked. They open. That's right. That's supposed
April
to be hysterical. 12th,
we say happy opening to Fat Ham. What is Fat Ham about?
I just assumed it was a variation of Hamilton. So like a, but
is it?
I don't know. I don't know.
Their marketing is fantastic. It's actually a deliciously funny Pulitzer Prize winning new play coming to Broadway following a critically acclaimed sold out run at the Public Theater.
Oh, big one. April 13th. So happy opening to them, to Camelot, to our buddy Jordan Donica.
Yes. Jordan.
Former Ral.
One of my favorites opened April 19th. That's the Peter Pan Goes Wrong. And this is, I believe, their first production. They did the play that goes wrong second. Peter Pan that goes wrong was first. But it's arriving in America second. But it actually is starring
Neil Patrick Harris, right?
That is correct, Neil Patrick Harris. I remember I took my kids to the play that goes wrong, and the three of us laughed so hard that I think my kids went back so they could get the jokes a second time because it was just so funny we couldn't hear it all. It's
my son saw it. He got a ticket for it and he was like third row center and loved it. Like loved it. Laughed.
I'm just told that Neil Patrick Harris has extended his run, so apparently that was a successful job. That was his that was great casting. I imagine that guy is a chameleon. He's probably one of the most talented people
on
this island.
April 20th, happy opening, the Thanksgiving play.
Then we have on April 23rd, 2 days ago, the show, I think this came from England, and it's called, I'm hoping I'm saying this right, Prima Facie. If I'm not saying that right, then shame on me. But I know that's a joke from their cast, and they had a big red carpet thing about who can say the name correctly. So I'm not actually sure if I said it correctly.
And they were our former neighbors, you know, and we shared an alley. And the, the crowds that would line up to meet her afterwards.
I know.
Nuts.
No kidding.
Holy smokes.
It was fun. You walk out there and you think everybody's out there to meet you and they want to sign your program. And then the security's like, get out of the way. I say, but I'm in a show. You're not in this show. Get out of the way. Okay. Yeah. All right. I'm out of here. Yeah, great.
Just last night. Happy opening was to Goodnight Oscar. They opened April 24th. And that's where Jill Oliver, one of our former stage managers, she's now stage manager over at Goodnight Oscar. So congrats, Jill. It. Yeah.
I know some cast went, and they said it's Sean Hayes. They said it was a performance not to miss. After that, we have the 25th. Oh, today we have the summer of 1776.
1976.
What did I say? Hamilton 2. Yes. Sorry. The summer of 1976. I believe that's
it is hot as hell in Philadelphia. Yeah. And then we have tomorrow night. Tomorrow night. This is the one show I have seen so far. Big opening. New York, New York. It's opening right across the street from where Phantom was. Lin-Manuel Miranda worked on that.
No, you saw it. I saw it too. What did you think of it?
I thought it's great. I mean, they did a great job with it. The, you know, there's some of the great
Kander and Ebb
songs
that
you know, and then some new songs, and the set is gorgeous.
The set is gorgeous. It was a love letter to New York, really. Just on being an artist in New York and what it's like and a musician. And it was so beautifully done. And just the culture. There wasn't a ton at risk, which I also liked. The lives are hard enough. They didn't have to make devastating things happen in their lives because there's a few families in there that had lost family members in the war, and they were going through it, and they were having it was just really about how hard it is to live in New York and what it is to be a neighbor and what it is to be in this community. It was quite neat. The ending was, I won't spoil it, obviously.
But yeah, the ending was great.
The ending was a payoff. And you felt like $1 million walking out of the theater, and you kind of you really loved everything about theater and about being an artist in New York. And then they opened the doors to the empty, majestic theater.
Womp womp.
Brutal.
Yeah, no joke.
The choreography was really great too, actually.
Yeah, there's some really cool numbers.
That was great, right? It was funny to me. It was. I mean, it was Susan Stroman, and I believe that they went through the show, and then she goes, "There are 3 seconds with no dancing. Go!" And then she's filled every moment possible with some sort of amazing dance. There's several styles, which was impressive.
Yeah, and it was just great to see so many friends up there too. You know,
oh, I know. It's
just killing it, looking great.
It was cool. Yeah, there was a girl named Wendy Bergamini in the cast, and she's been in that building several times with different shows. It was fun to see her back there. The sign in Sidney Brustein's window. That will be opening on the 27th, so 2 days from now.
And then coming up, well, we got another month for this one, but I think this is May 30th. We have the opening for Grey House, which is supposed to be really scary and creepy, and I really want to see that because... I like
that's wonderful.
Stuff.
You know, we need a thriller on Broadway. There's nothing like that right now. It's a little high school, and then there's campy, and then there's history, but there's not thrillers. Oh, good. It's starring Oscar Isaac and Rachel Brosnahan.
Oh, well, very
it's
cool.
Transferring to Broadway. It's directed by Anne Kaufman, and it's a strictly limited engagement. It'll begin performances on Tuesday, April 25th. For only 80 performances, which means are 80 chances to see Mrs. Maisel, and that is going to be a stage door to be avoided. That is going
Oscar
to
Isaac.
Be...
I mean, yeah, really.
We have some sad stuff to report here. That Mr. Harry Belafonte left us, and it's very sad. I love that Calypso.
I know, right? He was 96 years old, I think.
Oh my God. It's just, he's such an iconic person in music. I think that's
he did so much, you know, in the world too, like activism and all that stuff. So I was just handed a note actually too, something very important. The Tony nomination announcements. Hello. They're announcing Tuesday, May 2nd at 9 a.m. People that are announcing will be Miles Frost, who was MJ.
Oh my God.
Tony
gosh,
winner.
MJ.
And unbelievable. Cause that's the last show other than New York, New York that I saw. And it's mind-blowing. And so it'll be Miles Frost and Lea Michele from Funny Girl.
Oh, my gosh. That's going to be amazing. Miles is like my son's favorite actor right now. He thinks that he is the end-all, be-all. And MJ is the only musical that exists or should be watched. He was that moved by it. It's great.
It's so incredible. The Green Symphony, which was an incredible restaurant and place you can go get anything. Best, you know, hot bar food, organic food, stuff like that. They're reopening,
organic
or they
and
make
vegan food. Yeah, if you're vegetarian or vegan,
43rd Street between what, 8th and Broadway.
Yeah, the Green Symphony.
Green Symphony. I think they're reopened.
We're losing a great place. A Phantom favorite, actually. They catered a lot of our poster signings, and they catered a lot of our little Phantom parties. The Starlight Deli on 44th is going to shut its doors. We want to say thank you, Mr. Min, for all the years. That was outstanding food.
So great.
Great sandwiches. And just
the
nice
black
people.
And white cookies.
The best. Black and white cookies were the best thing in the world.
I know.
Oh my gosh. Seriously. It was so funny. It was like watching 50 starving people. You brought out that big tray of black and white cookies, and you just watch the cast just go at them as if we've been starving for 4 days.
You're like ballerinas do eat.
But with that in mind, what do you have any recommendations in Midtown for theatergoers?
I do. A place that I started going to a ton once we kind of came back after the pandemic and the shutdown. I was going over to on 9th Avenue and 45th, just north of 45th and 9th. It's a great place called Taco Mahal. And it's like it's an Indian restaurant, and they, kind of had their little unique way of doing it, like kind of like tacos. And but they had really good chicken biryani and their chicken tikka masala. Excellent. So, and it's great because you can just get it and go. So I used to just grab it and just take it back to the theater. Love it.
Dude, I murder some sog paneer at that place, man. It's so good. It's a little spicy with the dal. And I like that as well. It's, but it's just such a great bang for the buck. It's almost two meals in that bowl, right?
Yeah.
I like to go to a place up on 49th. It's called Gossip. It's this little, it's not even little, actually. It's an Irish bar. But their menu is fantastic, and they have a lot of specials. Like there's a braised short rib on the weekends, and their hamburger is rad. They have I said rad. Did you hear that? I said rad. That happens.
That's a bitchin' burger, man.
We are back in 1980. Cool and bitchin'.
Yeah.
I'm going to go in my Ferrari Testarossa over. Yeah, I don't know what.
Let me check my notebook. Am I a checker keeper? I love Trapper Keepers, man.
Trapper Keepers are amazing. They still have them, by the way.
They're kind of bad.
If you go to Staples, they have the old ones with like the dog on it and the sunset one.
Everything
the
old is new again. Yeah, I know.
A recommendation from Joyce Belitsky, our producer. She loves to go to Junior's. Now, Junior's is a New York staple. It started in Brooklyn. And it's a cheesecake restaurant, but it's got the matzo ball soup, and I think she highly recommends the chicken fingers because the barbecue sauce is off the charts. Apparently the staff is really nice. I've actually experienced that as well. So let's talk about the closing. And today's segment is brought to you by the Local One Moving Company. Thanks for taking our stuff to an undisclosed location. Do you remember how we heard about it?
Oh, I do. I do indeed. poor Nahal. Rehearsal. Nahal, who was our Andre to finish out the show, he had just gotten cast in the show, and we were at a rehearsal for his. It was his put in to go in that night for his first show as Andre, and he was so stoked to finally get in the show, and here he is with us. That's totally rad, man. He's like, oh, good. I get to be in this long-running show. During the put-in, news starts breaking on the interwebs that looked like we were going to close. And then they had to kind of tell us during that rehearsal that we were, in fact, going to close.
Yeah.
That was wild.
There's a news organization that rhymes with host that was not very kind. I think they had some gifted information that they were asked not to say until a certain time when we were told, and they just decided that that is not something they wanted to hold on to, and they were just to let everybody know. So we got to know from the news during the rehearsal, and on my rose-colored Mac Air, we put the rose-colored Mac Air on top of the rehearsal piano, and the entire company of Phantom stood around the tiny computer. And on FaceTime, we were told that we would end in February. Surprisingly, the rehearsal ended at that point. I don't know why.
And Nahal did go on that night, and he was fantastic.
He did. Yeah, I know. He's fantastic every night. He's that guy.
So good.
That guy was a treasure to the show.
Oh, actually, man.
There are a lot of questions that have been coming in, and I think we'll address some of them now because. So one of the people had called in and asked about, after the first extension, did we think there would be another one? Did you think there would be another extension?
I actually didn't. I really didn't. I thought that would be, because, you know, I talked to some of the crew guys and stuff, and they're like, you know, it's going to take a while to renovate this place. And, the producers and the theater owners aren't going to want this city to empty for too long. And if it's going to take this long to, you know, because it's been, what, 35 years since someone's vacuumed this joint, it's going to take a while to clean it. So, or to, you know, and to move it out and do whatever changes they wanted to do. So I thought, you know, once they gave the extension, that was probably it, because the rest of the time was going to be doing refurb and getting it out and getting another show in there before it was too long that it sat empty. So
totally.
Yeah, I kind of thought that was it.
Yeah. I definitively thought that was it, because as the insiders know, if you want to know anything that's happening in theater, you ask the crew, because they know first. There were definite days that they were starting the loadout, and there were definite days they were starting. They had already started repainting the inside of the theater during our production. They had people coming in and measuring and talking about what they were going to rebuild and redo in the theater, which is pretty extensive. I think the inside of the back of the theater with all the dressing rooms is going to be unrecognizable at the end of this, which is fun. I hope I get to go backstage at some point and see that. Just kind of reminisce and go, I remember this was here. And they're like, we don't care. You know, that whole thing.
It's going to be wild to see it, to see what they've done. Because, like, you know, when I was there on Friday, I was in the lobby. And I mean, they're scraping the fabric off the walls, and they're taking all the molding off. And I was like, wow, even all that's going too. I mean,
the cork boards, it's gone.
You know, the whole face of the theater, the style it's going to look like. It's going to be totally different. I'm sure it's going to be spectacular, modernize everything, and I'm sure it'll look great. But it's just, it's wild. It's wild to see even the walls coming down. You know, the stuff off the walls.
You know, what's going to be weird is when the proscenium comes down and we see the actual proscenium in the theater for the first time in 36 years.
I know.
Or the chandelier, seeing the actual chandelier in 36 years.
Yeah,
but the real thing is going to be outside when they paint the theater back that sand color out of the black that it's been for that long.
Yeah.
Because that was painted especially for the Phantom of the Opera. It's actually an earth tone paint, which is what all the other theaters are. And ours is black just because what we're selling. So closing week, I don't know about you, but it was such a busy, crazy week. Wait, what did we have? We had Sunday, Monday off. We came back Tuesday.
We had Sunday, Monday
off.
That's
how that went down.
Tuesday.
Yes.
That's what it was.
And then we did two shows on Wednesday. Thursday, we did a show, and the audiences were becoming progressively rowdier as we got closer to the end, which was really fun. They cheered for everything. It'd be a sold. Yay! Elephant. Yay!
Drapes off the monkey, man. They loved it.
I felt like a rock star. It was such a great feeling. As you know, because we were covering Phantom for a few of those shows, just to feel that experience and to feel that bow was one of the most magical things I think I will ever see or ever feel. But then we get to the last couple nights. Friday night, I think it was the benefit, right? That's where people paid huge amounts of money to donate to our charities that we did the performance for. And they came in and they were lit up. That place, I thought the walls were going to fall down at one point. It was it was cool. And then our second to last show, Saturday night, that was amazing.
That was the one I was so bummed. Like everybody was in and I wasn't on that night. And so, you know, if I'm not on, I'm like, I'm going to go ahead and go home early. So I left, you know, at the early time I could leave. And then to hear what happened, you know, at curtain call and beyond that night, I was like, dang, I could have been there with my camera getting pictures of the audience.
Oh, you getting the greatest footage on the planet, right?
I know, but the rest of the cast got amazing videos and stuff. Yeah, that was pretty sweet.
Because they were on stage. So if anybody out there doesn't know what happened the night before we closed, the audience at the end of the show stood up and we had the hugest ovation in the world. The conductor played the playout music. She did a beautiful job and the audience stayed and listened to every note of it and clapped for her and chanted her name. And
the amazing Kristen Blodgett.
The amazing Kristen Blodgett. Yes. And she was on fire and it was magic. It was her last night conducting. And yeah. I think some people in the audience knew it and they really just made such a tribute to her and it was beautiful. Then she left and they stayed. They stayed and clapped and chanted one more song. And we love you, Kristen. We love Phantom. Ah, and they stayed for 30 minutes. A 30-minute standing ovation I've never seen. I've seen like a 10-minute when I went to a Van Halen concert back in the days. But not this. And because it was just poured with such love and such admiration for the show. I think it's...
Because this was the last like public performance. Because the Sunday was a special closed performance for others. So this was like the last chance for the public and the fans and all that. And they just wouldn't let it go. And it was unbelievable.
And we ended up, people in the cast went upstairs and they got dressed and they came back downstairs to leave and the audience was still there. They walked out on stage, looked around and you could see it in their face that what is happening right now? And half of the cast was standing on stage with their phones in their hands, just in amazement that this was going on. It just stood there until finally Greg Lavoti, our trusted SM, our captain, he said, let's sing to him. And we sang a little farewell. And then they went crazy again. And they still wouldn't leave. And so Nahal got up and talked and thanked the fans for their love and their enthusiasm. And we realized early on, but it is really apparent at that point that we weren't losing the show as a cast. We were all losing the show as a society. Like it's a big deal and it means a lot to a lot of people. And they really expressed that. And that night was a night I will never, ever forget.
Yeah.
Until tomorrow when I wake up. I don't know. But then that did
But then they released the hounds and shot the tear gas off and that cleared the theater out right away.
Yeah, it was wild. Some of the people slept overnight in the drunk tank and it was a mess.
Could you imagine?
Really? Tear gas.
Woke up the next day and there was a fan that was sleeping in the chandelier. They had to get them. No, just no.
There's puke in the orchestra pit. The final night was our closing and the audience was invite only. Not exactly everybody, but almost everybody who's had something to do with the show or had been on that stage was in the audience. And it was the most loving environment I think I've ever seen. It was just wonderful. At the end, we had that Saturday Night Live ending. Do you remember that? We all got to stand on stage.
Yeah.
They served Veuve Clicquot to the cast and crew. And we stood on stage like it's the final moment of SNL and just danced to the music and cheered and hugged and the audience did the same. And it was just kind of the party basically began at that moment.
Yeah.
And then we went over to the big event, the largest party I've ever seen, a 3-story building with, some 20 rooms. And
it was amazing, but because it was, that was the problem. It was so big and there was just so many people that, yeah, I was like, oh my God, I didn't see, I saw all these pictures on Instagram and Facebook and I'm like, they were there? I had no idea.
Exactly. It's like having a party at a Costco, but the Costco was 2 stories and you just can't get to it all.
I mean, a really nice Costco.
Yeah, really nice Costco. They had actual wallpaper, right?
They spared no expense. Yeah.
They really did, right? Lin-Manuel Miranda was there and he was emotional about it. He loves the show and he was just absolutely torn to pieces that it was going away.
God. And that made my picture with him and I got a picture with him like photobombing me. It was amazing. So cool.
They had that with that photography company, Dirty Sugar, there, and they were doing photographs with us with the crazy backgrounds and
So neat.
You know what? Let's get on to the next segment. Because that's the end, let's go back to the beginning. This next segment is brought to you by Cramp Rolls, the official dinner roll of Broadway.
Hey!
Prior to auditioning for Phantom of the Opera, had you seen the show?
Yes. Phantom of the Opera was the first musical I ever heard. I wasn't into theater or any of this stuff until, you know, whatever, however old I was when this came out. It was the first show I ever heard, and it was the first time I took a school choir trip to New York City, and it was the first musical I saw. It was like in my yearbook. All my high school friends, you know, knew. I think in my yearbook it stated, like, one day Greg Mills wants to play the Phantom of the Opera on Broadway. You used to work in a grocery store, and they, you know, you'd had to wear, I was a bag boy, and you had to wear a tie, but they'd let me wear like a bolo tie. Yes, I wore a bolo tie, but I had a bolo tie that had the, you know, the Phantom of the Opera mask. That was my thing, man. I wore like a Phantom pin. I don't know how people didn't beat me up a lot more in high school, but you know what I mean? I was like, I was that guy, and I loved Phantom, and you know, that was the first show I saw, and cue 5 years later to now. See how I did that? Five. And I, you know, I and you know, here I am, you know, got to do it. So
I was actually the same. Yeah, I was the same. Were you? I was that guy. And I think that they didn't beat you up because they also secretly liked the show. So there wasn't taboo. It was just maybe it was the unspoken love. Like our love, Greg.
Mm-hmm.
But I just spoke about it, so now it's erased.
It's a spoken line.
No, I was that guy. I actually was voted most likely to be in Phantom of the Opera in my high school yearbook. That is where I'm from. But starting in high school when I was 16, I didn't know what a musical was. Myself, I loved it. I heard it in my uncle's car. He played it all weekend while he was visiting. And I thought, what is this weird, weird music with all the echo in it? And by the end of it, I was singing every song. And
yeah, right.
I had the tape. That's how old I am. And I got the book. Did you get the book?
Oh yeah.
The one with the libretto in the back and all the pictures on. That was like the music theater Bible, that thing. What changes have occurred in the time that you've been in the show? Scripts, entrances, exits, dancing.
Yeah. Well, we used to have like, you know, little dance changes here and there, you know, something would just a little bit would change. We had a lot of different changes when we came back after the shutdown. You know, we had some staging changes. They made some changes to some of the dialogue. The auction had a little bit of different dialogue in there, which, you know, after you do the auction for 10, 12 years or whatever, you know, to suddenly have, to have, you know, a few different words thrown in there. That gets a little tricky. We changed some of the choreography. A couple lines were cut out to save time or just to clear things up. But, you know, as a whole, I think, you know, the show mostly stayed how it was for the time.
I agree. But I think there were some improvements made, really. There was racially insensitive material in the show, and that was taken out immediately. There was a mannequin that was questionable, and that was removed because nobody wanted to even have the conversation. It's just, there didn't need to be a conversation. It needed to go. Yeah. And, we had Madame Giry make a few more appearances in the show, which was really fun. I don't know if you can hear in the background, but there's Elizabeth Welch is singing in the other room because she volunteers for a charity called Broadway Hearts, and they sing to the children in the hospitals. And so she's doing that right now. So if you hear anything in my mic, that is what's happening. There's some tweaks like that. There were some changes, but assistant director or associate director, Seth Sklar-Hane, actually sat with Charles Hart, and he wanted to make some changes in the show. So the original writer decided, well, since we're opening the book, there's some things that I didn't like before and I'd like to change. Those came from that, including the Phantoms thing at the end when we said, what did we say? Be my guest, sir. And changed
Of
course, sir. Which,
but then we change it back, and
then they change it back, and
yeah, because
it was so ingrained in us, it took weeks. It's like,
be my here. Course, man.
Yes,
yeah,
Mike.
We were like, why, of course,
you
here.
You guess it right before you do it, and it's deadly. Oh, it's the worst. Oh, God. But how do you make the roles you play your own versus just doing the part as somebody else played it?
I mean, I think we all have our own, you know, we bring our own personalities to certain things, a framework to the characters. And, you know, you have to be here and here and hit these beats and that beat, you know, sing these notes and they should be sung this way. But we all have our own personalities and takes on how we do things. There was definitely freedom in the parts to do that, I felt, you know, and we all, I guess just as how we are different humans or whatever, you know, we bring a different quality to each role. So they definitely want, you know, want it to be as similar as possible to get their vision through with the show. But we were allowed freedom to do our thing too.
Yeah. Well, it became a strength versus copy because we're not the same people. And I think that things that I'm strong at don't look good on Laird, and things that Laird's strong at doesn't look good in the same way it looks good on me, such as they really stressed for me to be very still. And that's not the same for some of the other actors where they wanted them to be active and passionate, but I'm so huge. I got to take up the whole stage if I move too much. So it was all about stillness and focus. And that was I had a different performance as a result, because, as you know, it's all about intention. And if I don't have the correct intention to what is being sent back to me, then it's blah. So you go back and forth with the other actors, and if the other actors are giving you something, you have to do it in the structure that you've been given, I guess you'd
right.
say. Have you ever played Pianji?
No, I never did Pianji. That was the only, I guess technically that was the only track I never covered, minus just goofing off in rehearsal when they didn't have anybody else. I'd kind of just jump up there. But
it is.
No, that was the only one I never did.
They
that was
let
you.
Me get away with murder on that.
Oh, yeah. Where's my knife?
Where's my knife? Yeah. What he's talking about right now is there was one point where I climbed up on the elephant. I do this dramatic climb up on the elephant where I basically pretend I have no upper arm strength and try to get up, and it's ridiculous. And I finally make it up to the elephant, and we're supposed to pull this knife out of the sheath, and there's no knife. And so I just looked at the audience and put my hands up and goes, "Where's my knife?" And then that was the button instead of a bum-bum-bum-bum with a knife in the air. The cast, which I didn't mind because I made it my goal to try to get them to smile at all times, they just lost their minds. And it was my favorite thing.
And now you know what the premise of Fat Ham is.
Yes, there it is. Oh, we
Jeremy stole his Pianji. There it is.
Well done, my friend. Well done.
Thank you.
There were so many questions. We asked you within less than 24 hours. We said we're going to tape this thing today, or what do we call this when you podcast? When you cast it? When you pod it? What does a podcast do when you record it? I don't know. Let's make something up. It's probably record, but we'll call it cast it. When we cast our pod, we ask the audiences to go on to Pod of No Return at Instagram, follow it, and then you can ask questions for today. There were so many questions. It was like watching binary code going down in the Matrix. It was just the questions were coming in so fast.
Jeremy, yes. if just so they know, if you're on Instagram and if you swipe too far, you've gone past the Pod of No Return.
Bingo. Bingo.
You're welcome.
I'm just going to take a moment for a groan and a laugh, because dad jokes like that, it doesn't matter if you groan or laugh, both are satisfying for the person telling the joke. That's the truth. That's why.
And this is what we have now to look forward to now that the show's closed.
Right.
More time for dad jokes.
Unshaven faces, glasses, and dad jokes. That's how we roll, man.
That's right.
That's our new life. Most memorable stage or fan interactions.
We've had so many great fan interactions. I mean, recently with all the gifts they bring, we've had flowers, we've had artwork, the pictures. It's, you know, people giving me photographs, which is incredible. Hand-drawn stuff that's unbelievable.
I think you're right. I think that is probably one of the most great, one of the greatest experiences of the show is to see how it affects others.
Yeah.
Because we only see how it affects us and we only work on it 8 times a week. And that's all we know. But when we go outside and we see how it affects others and they reach out, it's pretty magical.
Yeah. And that, you know, they take the time to, I mean, some people have taken so much time to like give everybody, like the entire cast, you know, artwork or something handmade or
a Lego. How about Lego Phantom at Instagram?
Yeah, that's
give
cool.
Everybody a little mini Phantom of the Opera. I mean, it was so thoughtful. I got a cup that was handmade for me. A cup, not a cup, but a Starbucks mug because of my song. I've been to every Starbucks that I wrote. Somebody made me my own personal Starbucks cup with my face on the Starbucks logo. At the end of the song, I have this long order. It's like a 24-point order, and they put the order in on a sticker on the back. It was so cool. Playing the most there, Greg, besides Madame Giry.
Besides Madame Giry, I always wanted to be Meg Giry.
Hello.
You know, but Leg Giry, because look at these things.
The 9-foot great male's legs.
I know, right? I'm all legs. It's tough. I mean, Andre was kind of sort of the most fun to do, especially as the principals go. You know, you kind of laid back, you get just enough, you know, on stage time, you're the kind of comic relief. So I always loved doing Andre. You know, Rao was my part for a long time, and I've always loved that ensemble stuff. I guess it depended on the night. There was always something really awesome about doing the auction, especially, you know, towards the end, you know,
like when walking a tight wire.
I mean, yeah. But, you know, you just got to hold for applause. But like, you know, the crowds would just go nuts when you, you know, say that last line. And great track. I love that. But, you know, Andre was just always the most fun, I think, for me to do, just to have a good time. How about you?
Well, it's funny. You answered the next question. And the next question is, what female character would you play in the show and why? And so yours is Meg Giry. And I would... So I'll take the two questions. I love playing the Phantom the most. It was the iconic characters is the one thing that I wanted to do. And it's just that vanilla. I really loved it and I miss it. And I don't want to not do it. So if there's ever another production locally and they need a Phantom, I'm for hire. What female character would I play? Madame Giry. Oh my God. I just want to stand there and just be still and just insult everybody for existing and move on. And I just love Madame Giry. I think she's the greatest. What is the best and worst thing about playing the Phantom? How about that question?
The best thing is you're playing the Phantom.
That's right.
And that's pretty awesome.
Agreed.
Agreed. The worst thing, I found it stressful. It gets a little stressful because I feel like there was a lot of pressure.
What? Come on.
Pressure?
Yeah, please. please. It's the most iconic character in the history of musical theater. And your bosses are Andrew Lloyd Webber and Cameron McIntosh. There is no pressure. It is all love.
All love. You know, so there was that. Once I got past the first layer, once I got through Music of the Night, I was like, all right, let's go. You know, then I kind of always felt a little bit more relieved. It was always that the first bit through Music of the Night was just always you're shot out of a cannon. I could never like calm my nerves and get my breath where I wanted it to be. After that, I'm like, I'd go crazy and lose my mind and have fun. Also for me, like, I don't know, taking the makeup off just ripped my skin apart.
Oh, that was rough.
You know, I don't know. I don't know if I had sensitive skin to something, but I would be just red and I'd have like rashes. I don't know. It was rough on my face.
It's the part they don't tell you about Phantom, right? That first sequence. They don't explain to you that you're going to sing very loudly and then you're going to drag her around the stairs and you're going to climb up ladders and walk up hills and walk down hills and climb down ladders and go on a boat and do this thing and yell at her and do this. And then when that is all done, then you're going to do a very, very long, hard song that takes no breath. And at the end of that, you have to find a way to have your heartbeat slow down so that you can go, no, and hold it for an hour and a half.
But right. In the meantime, I feel like that. It's going, no.
Yeah, exactly. Or you get, no.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like.
Because your heart is still, like, pounding out of your chest.
You're like, can they hear my heartbeat out of my mouth right now?
They fully yeah. can. Yes, yeah. they can. Yes, and we yeah. know this because they are pirated within an inch of their lives. Right? Yeah. Can you talk about the emotional process for each character you play?
Do you have 6 to 7 hours? I covered 13 tracks in the show. I was able to, like, kind of, you know, after as long as I've done it and as many tracks as I've done, I could lock into, you know, any of them. As far as, like, trying to get emotionally ready for any of the characters, I mean, I could still do it, you know, anytime. They say, you're on for this, boom, I'm in there and I'm emotionally ready to go. Just because we've been doing it for so long, it's not difficult to do that anymore. And I think, you know, between all life experiences we've had and the journey we've had with this show, the shutdown, the it coming back, I mean, that just adds to all the emotions that we can just channel right into with this show. I think, especially, you know, for Jeremy and I and for everybody else, how much the show means to us, you know, you already have some pretty good emotions to work with right out of the gate. So
I'm actually, I don't have any emotions. I have awake and angry, and that's it. That's all I have.
And it works well for the show.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It's perfect.
Yeah.
Who would win a fight to the death, my phantom or your phantom? Against each other.
I mean,
ding, ding.
Again, once we talk about mishaps, well, you know, that might solve that issue. I don't know, man. That's
that Jeremy is the might... best shot ever. Oh, I'm a walking disaster, right? I just if shit went down in the show, it was, you were like, was it Jeremy?
Jeremy might be the one to kill you first, and I might be the one to kill myself first. with the mishaps,
but it's all accidental.
Oh yeah, completely accidental. But yeah,
that's funny. I think the actual answer is we would both die, but it would be by our own hands. That's it.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Nobody would win. Yeah. We would both go down. What's it like not being at the Majestic every day?
It's different. It's, you know, I feel like we're back in a pandemic, or I'm just quarantining with COVID right now, and we're bound to be back there soon, right? Yeah, it's different. There's definitely a piece of me missing not being there and going up to the dressing room every day and hanging out with my buddies.
So I have a question, not my question, it's somebody's question. Your photography is obviously made a big splash. It's beautiful, it's wonderful, and there's an abundance of new shots that people haven't seen. How did you get into photography? And once again, you get this question every day. Actually, I'm going to ask you, do you know what I'm about to ask you?
Am I going to make a coffee table book?
That is the question, my friend.
Ding, 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 ding. Yeah, you won a prize. You won a prize.
That is something you get every day, which is because it's that good.
You know, I guess I got into photography when I joined the tour umpteen years ago, and you know, I'd go around to all the different cities, and I had a little point and shoot camera, and I would photograph all the cities I was in. And like Philadelphia, I was like, look at all this beautiful stuff, and I was like, wow, these are great. And then I was on tour, and some of the crew guys were like, hey, we're in this city that doesn't have sales tax, let's buy really fancy cameras. I'm like, okay. So we did, and we bought a group of like six of us bought really expensive cameras, and then we used to go out and shoot before shows, or we'd go out and do night shoots, and we just started having fun. And then I kind of put it down for a while, and then when I joined the Broadway company, I was like, oh, I should bring my camera in. And I just had it there and started taking pictures of people backstage, and it started with like some pictures of, you know, Jeremy as the Phantom. I'm like, oh, I should get a picture of him in his outfit, and Elizabeth when she was on as Christine, and you know, just kind of people were like, hey, I want my picture. And it just kind of turned into that. And it was just fun. And then, you know, we kind of had the shutdown and came back. And then Seth had asked if I'd be willing to take some shots during the rehearsal process of us kind of getting, you know, things going again. And that led into the company, you know, asking me for certain things and me sharing my photos with them, and more backstage shots, and then obviously with the announcing of the closing, just trying to document everything I could on stage.
You basically
offstage.
Made the greatest yearbook ever in the history of the world.
You know, and I had fun doing it, and then, you know, all these little side projects with the family shots in front of the chandelier, just kind of as things, you know, goodbye things for the company. You know, it just turned into a lot of fun and a lot of work, and you know, I loved it, and it seemed like everybody else liked it too. And yeah, and so, but I have, you know, I have thousands of photos, and people are asking, you know, oh, when are you going to do a book? You know, there would have to be, I'd have to really go through and pick out the shots that, you know, A, they'd let me share. It'd have to be, you know, kind of backstage shots.
I think it might be a small book.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. You know, there are a lot of, you know, just individual people in their costumes, or, you know, things that aren't production shots or anything that's on stage that could, you know, go in a book. And I don't think they'd have any problem with that being done. And but again, you know, I don't want to make a book that's 500 pages long and cost, you know, $700 for somebody to buy. But, you know, I think if I could whittle it down to, you know, photos of the cast and, you know, some portrait stuff that's, you know, not a production or onstage shot, that's something I might be able to do, put it up on a site that, you know, has a link to where you can just order other copies or something. It's something I'll think about for sure.
I think the portraits specifically are where the magic lies. I would love if the Museum of Broadway had a little insert, if they had a room that was constantly changing, I would love for it to be a, do you call it an expose or a showing? I'm not sure what you
call it. Yeah, I guess, something like that.
An arts showing of the portraits. I think it would be one of the greatest things to see ever. So
yeah, be cool.
If the Broadway Museum is listening, which I hope you are, I think you should have Greg's portrait shots in a room for everybody to enjoy and love. Especially our Phantom fans would love that.
Yeah. And what's cool, just recently, like during that last week, you know, because of the shots I did around the theater that they put in that souvenir program, you know, I have more than that they use there, but the Schuberts actually reached out to use some of the shots for the Schubert Archives, which is actually I think it's above one of the theaters, one of the Broadway theaters. And they actually have like a bit of a gallery, and they've reached out for, you know, to have access to some of the,
yeah, the Schubert offices are above the, Some Like It Hot theater.
Oh, is that okay?
They're right there. Yeah. Yeah. Right in Schubert Alley.
Yeah. So, so they, you know, to use some of the shots around the Majestic that they can have, you know, to show what the theater looked like, you know, before they change it.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was pretty cool.
I got two more questions for you.
Me?
One of them, well, for us. One of them is, do we get to keep the mask? I know, right? You're scared to say it. I can neither confirm nor deny that I have a mask.
The existence of a mask.
Yes, yes. I will say that, yeah, yes, we did. But I'm only saying that because we have proof that Ramin has an entire box of them in his house where his son got to play. You know, so fair is fair, people. And the last question is, are there going to be other actors on the show or other actors from our show on our show? Yes, that is the plan.
And my question to the people writing the questions is, who would you like to see?
With that, do you have any questions for them?
Yeah, like who they'd like to hear from, what other... you know, what other topics do maybe they want to hear from? Maybe it's not all, you know, maybe it's not all Phantom. Jeremy and I have vast knowledge of the world. We'll talk about anything.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to actually go. So we're going to start going to shows. And if you know me very well, they're going to be pretty positive. And if there's not a lot to say, it may be negative, but I don't bash anything. I like all theater and I like all tries, even when they're bad. I think bad is important as good.
We're both, you know, positive and, you know, you got to support your community. There's, you know.
That's right. I'd like to say thank you for joining us today on our podcast, Pod of No Return. Next week, we are going to do mishaps. So we are going to crown somebody or something mishap for the mistakes that happen in Broadway shows and shows around. There's a lot of stories. There are more stories than Phantom, and there are some funny ones. And we're gonna try to attack that. We're gonna have a guest on to talk about some mishaps. And we'd like to do a shout out this week to I can't say it because it's in French, but I know her name is Yushuan. How do you say it? It's French.
I'm not French.
Dang it! I only play a Frenchman in the show, but we have an English accent.
Mid-Atlantic, thank you.
We need to do an entire show of why we are set in France with English accents. That is a whole segment we need to do, because that part makes me laugh so much.
I know why, because we clearly can't speak with a French accent.
What are you talking about? So mishaps, we're going to crown something or someone mishap next week. And thank you to Yushuan at Lustre.
Lustre?
Balestur.
We're thanking her because
yes, we're thanking you because
her photo that she took of the two of us together that has been used on our episode, our pod.
Our arm-in-arm shot was taken by her, and it was very lovely, and she's one of the greatest fans and just absolutely lovely. So thank you. All jokes aside, we appreciate you, and you're amazing. Yes. I think that we need to cast this show in Muppets. I think that needs to be another segment.
I think so.
So that needs to
happen. You mean the show, our podcast, or Phantom of the Opera?
We need to cast Phantom of the Opera in Muppets.
Yeah.
I have lots of ideas. That's going to be a thing. Fan art shout outs and some other shout outs next week. Thank you very much from Jeremy.
And from Greg.